Hey moms, welcome to Mom Vibes Only. I'm Hannah.
And I'm Marky.
A one-stop shop for all things mom life.
We are sisters-in-law that are new moms, and we hope to create a platform for real moms with lives unfiltered.
Welcome back to Mom Vibes Only. This is episode number 2. We're going to go over kind of in-depth pregnancy and our pregnancies and our stories. So if you have any questions or comments, feel free to email us. So why don't you start with your story, Marky? Kind of how long you thought it was going to take, how long it did, kind of all talking to your doctors, testing, all those types of things.
Yeah. So I have a little bit of a backstory, and if anybody needs support in this, please call me because it was quite an experience prior to getting pregnant. But if any of you know, it's technically a fibroid, so not a cyst, which most people get on their ovaries, which can burst on their own. But I ended up having... Before we got married even, because I had stopped taking, I had an IUD for 10 years, like 2 IUDs back to back. So 5 and 5. I had the Mirena. Some people I know have horrible experiences with that. I didn't have any horrible experiences with that. However, I wish I would have probably just not done birth control.
Yeah.
I wasn't sexually active for a lot of those years. So yeah, right. I just was on birth control to make it easy. However, I feel like studies have come out that birth control really is like a factor when trying to get pregnant, especially for some reason. Some women in like our kind of generational, like millennial age. But so I found out after I took out my Mirena that I had a myoma. So it's technically a very large fibroid. I don't exactly know why they call it that. I had a myomectomy, which essentially my myoma was a little over a pound, and it was like 30 some inches by like 19 something inches. Jeez. But the reason I found this out and I had gone to a urinary specialist was randomly one day while I was at my other sister-in-law's bridal shower, I all of a sudden could not use the bathroom. I didn't even know that like urinary retention was a thing.
Yeah.
Let alone something like that. So it started out as urinary retention and went to the ER, had to get a catheter. They were like, it probably will never happen again. Yada, yada, yada. They did MRI, saw that there was like a mass, but it honestly wasn't that big yet before I had gotten it removed. So for a year I went to a urinary specialist. They tried to like do every test under the sun, tried to diagnose me with MS.
Oh, I remember that.
It was really traumatizing. We had to make like 2 other, we were out at the lake one time, had to go to the emergency room, which the property that we were at was like 35 minutes from.
Far.
And if anybody knows what has experienced urinary retention, it is extremely painful. And then your bladder can burst, which is really scary to think about. Yeah. But, and the only thing that can alleviate it is a catheter. So, not to like for anybody that, you know, gets grody, whatever, you might want to fast forward, but, it's not like super gross, but I had to self-cath myself for during this whole process. Yeah. So I had to carry around catheters, and honestly, it was very, I don't deal with anxiety normally. But it was a very anxious time in my life, anxiety driven time in my life, because every time I went somewhere, I would be like, where's the closest bathroom? Do I have like my mirror and all this stuff that I need to like, in case this happens? It's
just unneeded stress in your life.
And I will say, you know, make sure you get a second opinion. I just kept thinking that the doctor, he was like one of the top urologists in the state, and he just kept saying, this mass on your uterus has nothing to do with it. It has nothing to do with it. It has nothing to do with it. And if I would have gotten a second opinion, even the first time I saw him, I would have gotten it resolved a lot sooner. I went down to a specialist in Denver, a gynecologist, and she immediately, when I laid down, you could see the hump of this mass, like externally.
Really?
And she said, what is that? Like, that's not normal. Like, before even looking at me or touching me, and I had kind of explained, I had gone to like, okay, I should say I got second opinions, but everybody kept telling me that I was kind of crazy, and I was getting really discouraged because I was like, my situation, like I'm not just making this up.
No.
Like, I don't want to have this condition.
I don't want to be at the doctor.
No. And so anyway, she got me into a specialist, Dr. DiBella down in Denver. If you live in Denver and you want a good gynecologist, pregnancy doctor, he was amazing. He was an amazing surgeon. He got me in the next morning.
Oh, wow.
And like had personally called me that night, and he was like, this needs, we'll remove this and you'll be fine. And he would have done a full hysterectomy on me then, if I wasn't planning on having kids, just because the mass was huge.
Right.
And so when they went in, they initially were supposed to do it laparoscopically, didn't realize how big it was. Not even the test had showed up. So they ended up giving me like essentially a C-section. C-section scar to remove the mass to get it out. And then I was fine. I went back to, like, not having any urinary retention. Everything was fine. So fast forward, just wanted to give you that prior knowledge, because what happened to me after my pregnancy is, like, all stems from this myomectomy. Scott and I got married. We kind of, like, casually were trying to get pregnant for about 3 months. And then I started, like, really paying attention to my ovulation cycle. So mm-hmm. I ovulated pretty regularly on the same days every month.
That's nice.
Yeah. No, I feel lucky, because I know a lot of women, it doesn't work that way for them. So we tried for about 5 months and got pregnant. But then I will say, a lot of people have told me this, like, the less you think about it, the easier. So I had gotten ovulation strips. I was, like, testing it and, like, whatever. And, like, we were trying to time everything out. And that causes a lot of stress.
Anxiety.
And, it, you know, the letdown of every month of taking that pregnancy test. It's just, yeah, you get really discouraged. So the 1 month, it was, like, June, we were, like, I was, like, you know what? I'm done. I'm not, like, I don't care anymore. Like, however it works. So then, sure enough, July, like, 3rd or 4th, I found out I was pregnant. And I brought the pregnancy test up to my husband and was just, like, oh, my God, we're pregnant. And he was, like, no freaking way. He was just, like, almost in disbelief. And then sadly, I miscarried the following month. So I miscarried in August, before I even got to my first ultrasound appointment. So my ultrasound, it was interesting. I went back down to that doctor that did my surgery, and he was out of town. So I actually, when I should have gotten that first ultrasound at, like, what, 12 weeks, it was, like, 14 weeks or something. So it was, like, a couple weeks after. And by that point, I literally was miscarrying the same day I was going in for my ultrasound appointment, which, in hindsight, was kind of a good thing.
Because a little bit of a blessing, yeah.
Even though if you've ever been or experienced a miscarriage, it is extremely painful. It's extremely emotional. It's a horrible thing to go through. Yeah. So if you need help, like, reach out, because I know a lot of women don't talk about it.
Yeah.
And it was hard for me to talk about it with my husband, because he was very emotional and didn't want to talk about it and just, like, felt horrible for me. But I'm one of those people that really needs to get things, like, it's not so much that I care about sharing my business, but I just have to talk it through, because if I keep it inside, it just does, like, horrible things. So
yeah, mentally, I
let a couple people know, and they were like, oh my gosh, I experienced the same thing. So I kind of got to, like, relate, and we got to talk about that experience, because it's very hard. So my heart reaches out to people that go through that, because it's an extremely horrible thing that happens. And in our case, I kind of feel like it was a blessing in a way. Like, my body naturally took care of it. I didn't have any complications. And, you know, your body tends to take care of, like, if something was wrong with the baby or the egg, or that's why your body will miscarry. So, like, in hindsight, like, maybe there could have been other complications.
Yeah.
So but then we took a break from trying, and then we tried a month later, and then we found out we were pregnant again. So, fun fact, if you have miscarried or have done some studies, your hormones are extremely spiked after that miscarriage. And so it's actually a very ideal time, even though it can be very emotional and very hard to try again. It is, like, the most ideal time to try again. So we found out we were pregnant actually on Thanksgiving. We were at Hannah's house, and we went home, and I was like, man, I should have, like, gotten my period. And, took a pregnancy test, and it was funny, my husband and I were both brushing our teeth, and I, like, had taken a pregnancy test in the bathroom next door and came back and just, like, laid it on the counter and was like, and he was like, get at it, like, no freaking way. And it was kind of hard. I will say it was a little hard to get super excited, just because we had
nervous,
we got gotten again. Excited, and then we, like, definitely were nervous it was gonna happen again.
Yeah.
But then we made it to that first ultrasound appointment.
Woo!
And we've switched doctors. So we had recently moved, and as much as I love the doctor that did my surgery, it was just really not ideal. And I kept thinking, like, okay, if we're pregnant with this baby, I'm gonna be, like, pregnant all winter, and I don't know if I can drive in Colorado. It snows, and I didn't want to be on the highway, and I do this, like, physical job, and it was just, like, a lot.
Yeah.
I will come back to this. In hindsight, I wish I would have gone back to him.
Yep.
I went to UC Health, nothing against UC Health, but I went to a brand new hospital, like, down the street from our house, and it was, like, a panel of doctors. I never saw the same doctor, so I felt like a number and not really a patient.
Yeah.
And I think what happened to me on the backside of my pregnancy definitely couldn't have been, like, prevented, but it could have been better monitored, I think.
Yeah.
Now, in hindsight, saying that, my daughter might have been in the NICU, if they would have taken her out sooner because of this condition that happened on the backside of pregnancy. But anyway, long story short, got pregnant. I never really had like cravings or anything. We went to that first, or let me go back. Sorry. Went to that first doctor's appointment, saw that heartbeat and just like burst into tears.
Aww.
So it was definitely like rewarding. And the lady was like, you can definitely share with family and friends now. And like, it was a little, I know people usually rate like the rule of thumb is like 12 weeks or whatever, just to make sure. But she was like, you have a strong heartbeat. This baby is doing great. Like, tell people.
Good.
And the only reason we told people too was because Scott and Hannah's parents don't live here anymore. They kind of live here like half the year because his mom still works here. But they were going back after the holidays, and we found out, like, I think my first ultrasound appointment was December 21st. I'll never forget.
Right,
it was like right before Christmas. So we were like, let's share some good news. And Hannah had actually just like shared that she was pregnant. So we were like really excited, but we kind of had a very like somber, because we were just like, oh, we have this news we can't share with anybody. So we were kind of like caught off guard. So we were like excited for her, but it didn't quite come off that way. We always
felt
bad
about it.
It was a
weird time.
But anyway, so a week later, we had told everybody like at Christmas time that we were pregnant, and it was very exciting. And then, you know, didn't have any complications like during my pregnancy, really didn't have any cravings, like nothing. I can't say anything was like.
You had a pretty big sweet tooth there first.
I did. Okay. So in the beginning, I am not a sweets person. I do like sweets occasionally, but yeah, I definitely wanted like a sugar donut. So I gained like 15 pounds in the first 3 months, guys. And I was pretty little. I was like 120, like, yeah, about 120 when I got pregnant.
Yeah.
And in that first 3 months, they were like, you should have gained like 5 pounds, and I gained 15. So I was off to a bad start from the beginning because I just couldn't get hungry. I couldn't get full.
Yeah.
I wanted, like, I ate, like, 2 bagels and cream cheese every morning with, like, a sugar donut. And then I had, like, we'd have dinner, and I was like, okay,
what else?
Because I was just starving. Yeah. I was starving, starving, starving. And I dealt with some, like, nausea. It wasn't super consistent, but it was definitely that first trimester. And then it, like, I got a little nervous because it had abruptly stopped as soon as I crossed into my second trimester. And I was like, oh shit. And that's kind of what happens when you miscarry, is you start to have like, you very abruptly have like
a change.
And so I was like making sure, you know, I like made an appointment, went in and made sure everything was okay. But then from then on, I mean, I really didn't have any cravings or unusual. There was like, I guess, a very short time for like 2 weeks. I wanted my husband. I shouldn't say this, but I wanted fried chicken. I wanted like a fried chicken sandwich with grape juice. And he was like, is there a black baby in there? And I don't mean that with like any disrespect or anything. We're not trying to stereotype, but he was just like, what is going on? And I was like, come on. But other than that.
Salty and sweet.
Yeah. Other than that, I had no unusual tests, no unusual blood work, nothing out of the ordinary. And then the only other thing that happened to me at the very end was I had, they call it something and I'm not going to remember what it is, but my hands filled up with fluid.
Oh, yeah.
And it's called something, and I should know what it's called because they told me like it's very common in that third trimester. But my joints were extremely painful. My joints filled up with fluid. And then really the week before we had my daughter, so she was born on the 9th of July.
Edema.
Okay. So the week before we were at 4th of July cookout at the Martin's family, you know, gathering, place. And I must say like a lot of salt too. And it was like a lot of heat, but
yeah,
we went home back to our house instead of staying in our camper, but my ankles were like the size of my thighs.
Oh,
and that was the
gosh.
First time that I had ever had my lower body extremities. And so I remember Scott, we were getting home like 4th of July night or whatever.
Yeah.
And he put my legs up on like 10 pillows.
Yeah.
And then I woke up in the morning and they were fine. But I had never dealt with like swollen feet or anything like that. Cause I still worked
yeah,
up
you were
until
on your feet.
I had her like the week that we went on a Tuesday. I worked that Friday, that whole week before.
Yeah.
And we do commercial landscaping. So I was like on my feet all
in the hot sun.
Yeah. So anyway, so skipping to, I had a scheduled C-section because of my myomectomy. People were like, advocate for your baby to have a natural birth. And, you know, I totally understand that. And for moms that do that, great. But I'm really happy I didn't in this case because we did not expect to happen what had happened. And I'm not going to know what this is called either. But my placenta grew into my uterus. So, and what's weird is a lot of people are like, how did you not know that? And there were some like sharp cramps occasionally, but like when you're pregnant, this isn't unusual.
Yeah.
So like, you know, your baby shifts and things happen, and there wasn't any consistency to it. I'm really lucky my uterus didn't rupture, especially for what I did. I had to have a scheduled C-section, so I didn't get to go full term, which is a blessing also in disguise, because if we would have gone even a week later, the doctors were saying that my placenta could have grown into my bladder, it could have grown into my liver, it could have kept, it just wants a blood source, so it could have just kept growing into all my other organs, and it could have been a lot scarier than it was, so... Yeah. Very unfortunate. It was like a very joyous time. You know, you have your baby and we heard Evelyn's first little cry.
Yeah.
And going through a C-section is very, you know, it's scheduled and I know it's not like spur of the moment and you don't have to deal with any pushing, but it was pretty, it's still pretty traumatizing. I mean, you're getting like, yeah, that. And it's just like my epidural was not going well. So they couldn't get my epidural in my back. So she like poked me like several times.
Oh, no.
I don't know if I just like couldn't relax because I was really nervous. So I like couldn't open up my vertebrae. But then I should have seen like the four coming. Because, like, the computer didn't work when we got in, so we were already, like, behind schedule. And then they couldn't get my epidural in. And then as soon as I got cut open, like, we heard Evelyn's cry, and it was, like, we both cried. We were both, like, just, like, this overwhelming, you know, how parents say, like, love. Like, I haven't even seen this little girl, but I'm just, like, I love her already. Like, just let me hold her. And then not even 2 minutes later, my OBGYN came around the corner and was like, I'm drugged. And it was probably a good thing I was really drugged. I had asked for, like, anxiety medicine on top of, like, the normal epidural. But she had let me know that they were going to have to do a hysterectomy. So I didn't – I kept my ovaries, but I lost my uterus because my placenta had grown into my uterus. So they were like, this is an extremely rare thing that happens. It does happen. But they were like, if we would have caught this sooner, you would have gone down to Anschutz, like the way bigger campus, because they were not really – it's not like they couldn't do it, but that hospital was not equipped to really deal with those types of emergencies. Wow. So I got to spend 30 minutes with my daughter, and then I went under for surgery, essentially, to remove my uterus, which, in hindsight, my poor husband, as soon as he found out we were getting a hysterectomy, went from doing really well in the emergency room or in the C-section room to then, like, I need to get out of here now. Which, bless his heart, it was just, like, a lot of news we were expecting because we obviously wanted to have another baby. And not only that, it was just kind of, like, we didn't realize, like, the severity of the situation.
Yeah. Well, and then your wife is getting taken back to have surgery. I mean, any surgery is scary.
So, but in hindsight, it was also like a blessing because he got to spend like a couple hours alone with her.
Yeah.
And your parents came to the hospital in rush because he called them and told them. So like, it was kind of like a bittersweet. He really got to like bond with her during that time. So, and then I came out of surgery and everything was, you know, surgery went well. Or at least they said so.
We thought so.
We spent 4 days in the hospital and probably should have spent another day in the hospital, but we were kind of ready to go home. And then so we left on a Thursday. We were home for 4 days. And Tuesday, I didn't know this, but a stitch had popped in my...
Oh.
So that's what happened.
That's what happened.
One of my C-section stitches had popped and it had created a hole, essentially. So
everything was trying to push out.
Yes. So when you get a C-section or like pregnancy, I don't know if because of the epidural drugs, like, you know, it's harder to pass a bowel movement afterwards. Yeah. And I was starving. Obviously, if you are a breastfeeding mom or have had babies, you know, you're like hungry or thirsty. So I was kind of eating it and people were like, slow down. And I was like, okay, well, but I'm like starving and I need food and I haven't ate in like days.
Calories.
So. What had essentially happened is my intestine was so swollen and like the part that connects to your bowel, it had lodged itself in the hole where the stitch popped out.
Oh.
So, Tuesday we're laying in bed, my husband and I and my daughter, and she had just ate and was getting ready to go down for a nap and we were going to like lay there and watch a movie. And I was like, you got to call 911. And I think the blood drained from like, he just went pale white. He's like, you're kidding, right? And I was like, no, you got to call 911 now. So, that was fun. Fire department showed up. Ugh. They had a taco shell me down the stairs and out the front door. And all of our neighbors know that we just had a baby. So, of course, like, I get taken up in the hospital. Yeah. And I have the video. I mean, we'll laugh about this. We can laugh about it now. But the Ring video of my husband holding, like, our five-day-old baby while they're, like, taking me out of the house in what they call a taco shell. That looks like a body bag, kind of.
Yeah, because you're,
so, like,
it's
the neighbors
plastic.
Were like, what the hell is going on? So they all run over to help. And if you know my husband, he is, like, a people person. He's like kind of like, leave me alone. So he got a little bombarded but was grateful that everybody checked on him.
Yeah.
So got to the hospital, false alarm. They were like, okay, whatever happened corrected itself. They actually thought I had a blood clot because it had corrected itself in the ambulance. So that intestine slid back out of the hole and essentially was like, okay.
Probably from
again.
Being tacoed.
But talk about a pain.
Yeah.
Like, I've broken my back bend in the emergency room for that. It was like a pain I had never felt before. And it was in my upper back. So people were like, oh, well, you just haven't had a bowel movement. It's probably just like that. And I was like, you got, like, it took fentanyl, morphine.
Like, this is that. This, we got a problem.
To get rid of this pain. But by the time I got there, they were like, whatever happened corrected itself. So, okay. So they send me home and they're like, we're going to keep an eye because you might have like a blood clot in your ovary, but it doesn't look serious. So then 2 days later, we do the same thing. My mom and grandma and everybody come over. Same pain. Like, and when it happened, it's like a matter of minutes that this pain goes from like, oh, that's a discomfort. Oh, crap. Like, it's excruciating. Mm. Call 911 again. Go back to the hospital. It took like 4 hours for them even to get me back into a CT scan and then realize I had a hernia from it getting lodged in this hole again.
Yeah.
So luckily I didn't lose any of my intestines because at this point it was dying off. It had twisted and lodged. And when the surgeon described it as they like lit it up and it lit up green. So that meant it was still living. It was still alive. Otherwise they would have had to cut that section of my intestines and then like connect it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, luckily I wouldn't have had to get like a colostomy bag. But they were like, it would have just shorted. It would have been a different recovery. So then I spent another week in the hospital after that. So I went through a hernia surgery on top of like the hysterectomy C-section surgery. But during that week, you know, I look back now and I'm like, it was horrible because mm-hmm. I was recovering from so many things. And I had this brand new baby that I felt like I was missing everything out on. And yeah. I just wanted to see her. And thankfully, my husband brought her every day. Mm-hmm. And for that floor, unfortunately, I don't mean to be like morbid, but like a lot of people were like on their way out.
Ugh.
So the nurses and like even people on the floor were just like, we never get to see brand new babies. And she was so little because she came out pretty small. She was like 5 pounds, like a couple ounces, just being a little early. And she was considered a late term preemie baby. So she wasn't fully preemie, but she was lucky she didn't have to go into the NICU or anything. And that's why I say if they would have found out that my placenta was growing into my uterus earlier, they probably would have taken her out a lot sooner.
Right.
And then she probably would have had to spend time in the NICU is how they described it to us. So everything worked out. My uterus didn't rupture. I didn't have any other issues with that. But then she, you know, we were just happy baby was okay. It was like, I'll recover from all of this.
She's healthy, happy.
Exactly. So, but I look at being in the hospital for that surgery a little differently now because your hormones are so depleted after you have a baby mm-hmm. and they were like pumping me full of nutrients. So I think that's why I don't know that I would have dealt with any like postpartum issues, but like I really just got like brought back up to zero or like 100% on everything. Like everything that was like kind of out of whack or lacking, they were like constantly feeding pumping through an IV. So in hindsight, do I wish I would have gone back? No, but like it also had a bunch of benefits, I think, that kind of helped
happen the way maybe it
start off. And so, so then I went home 5 days later and then
never
went back. Didn't have any other issues. So I was grateful for that. And baby was fine and everything was good to go from there. So, so kind of had a roller coaster of a journey after that tail end afterwards, but not really during pregnancy. So,
Did you took the glucose test in your second trimester. Did you fail or did you pass the first time?
I think I was like a point above the lowest score you could get. Like my glucose level, surprisingly, was so.
That's good.
It was like, they were like, this is crazy. Cause I had to do the one where you sat there for an hour after you chugged it.
Yep.
I think some other people can do like, don't they have a different way of doing that?
That's always the first, as far as I know, that's always the first test. But if you fail that test, you have to go back and do it for 3 hours.
Okay. So, I took the juice, and then it was literally, like, it registered, like, a point above. They were like, that's crazy.
That's good.
So, I got really lucky, considering I was eating a bunch of sugar donuts.
I was going to say. Well, that was
I processed sugar pretty well, apparently.
Apparently. When did you, or did you want to find out the gender? Did you find out? I know that you found out the gender, but what was your guys' conversation on that?
We wanted to know the gender. We didn't. At first, I was, like, hesitant. I was like, let's not know. But then it was kind of like, well, if we want to, like, decorate our room and stuff, we could do unisex. But we just decided we wanted to know. So we actually just gave the results to my mom. And I did a blood test because I'm a little older. So we kind of got those results sooner. And then she baked us a cake with the gender reveal. And we just did it at home, just the two of us. And then we let everybody know. I'm not going to lie. Initially, I did not want a girl because I didn't have a hard time in school. I was pretty much friends with everybody, but yeah. I watched
others.
Girls are, you know, and mean. Maybe you feel differently, but I'm like, girls are mean to other girls. And it's sad that when we're growing up, we can't unite like we do when we get older. And like, I understand there's like jealousy and like maybe some like envious stuff going on. But I think it's very emotionally taxing on teenage girls. So that was like the number one reason I was like, I do not want to worry about my daughter getting bullied or not feeling pretty enough or like all these expectations of society.
Yeah.
But then I was like, you know, I would love like a little mini me. I know I'm like sassy and crazy, but
oh, she's gonna be sassy.
I know, she's so sweet, but man, she already has this like eyebrow attitude, and she's only 8 months. She like raises her eyebrows, like, you talking to me? And I'm just like, oh lordy. Between her dad and I, we definitely both have a little bit of a edge to us. But anyway, so definitely was going into it. I didn't necessarily. What I didn't care eventually. At first, I was like, I don't want a girl. And then I kind of got over that. And then we found out we had a girl. I was very, very excited. So I think it was just like, okay, you know what?
We're going to make this work now.
Yes, we're going to make this work. My husband, on the other hand, I think I mentioned in a previous episode, definitely had a little bit of a different adjustment. I think he was just nervous. And I think his head kind of went to the darkest, deepest, horrible thoughts of like what it's going to be like to have a girl. But honestly, that little girl came out and he is smitten and she is smitten and it's all been fine. And he definitely, it took him like a couple days to adjust to finding out that we were having a girl, but then I think he was like on board. And then it was really sweet. I could tell he was on board because clothes started showing up.
In the cutest little and clothes ever. In
the cutest. He is the only reason she is fashionable is because of her dad and her grandma's. And then he put together her room.
Yeah.
So I was like busy really going to work and he was working, but he really decorated. We came up with a theme together, but then he really executed.
Yeah.
We put flowers in her room and he just did such a great job of like just making her room like very, not too girly, but just like very
homey.
Yes. It's very sweet. Yes. So anyway.
It sounds like Scott maybe nested a little bit more than you. Did you feel like you went through a nesting phase?
Okay, so when you say nesting, just like sitting.
So nesting.
I guess I don't really understand what nesting is.
For me, in the way that I have seen or, you know, how I nested was, you know, like getting the house ready, putting the nursery, making sure everything's like set up.
No, I think Scott did all of that. Yeah. I did. I really like was more focused on getting stuff done at work, I think, because I didn't want to be bothered afterwards. Yeah. I deal with a lot of property managers and tenants and stuff like that. So he thankfully handled all the stuff at home. But no, I really wish I would have taken more time off like the week before.
Yeah.
To just like relax and like we thought we had her room put together and then my sweet sister-in-law and mother-in-law had to come over No. I had no idea. I hadn't had a baby. So I like had everything kind of in there, but it wasn't. I was like, we're not going to need that right away. We're not going to need that right away. Well, sure, guys, I will say you're going to need more than you think. Yes. So get it. Nothing was even out of packages or wrappers and it wasn't assorted by size. Anyway, so no, I wish I would have done more nesting. Scott definitely did a lot more nesting. And I'm grateful because he was pretty organized and got a lot of stuff together. But I definitely did not.
It's a little bit of that type A personality coming
out.
What were your... I know you had maternity photos done. When did you decide that you wanted to do them and was Scott on board?
Yeah, so we did them a little... I think it was like closer to 7 months. The end of April, May, June. Yeah. So, like, 7 months. Mm-hmm. And we knew we always wanted to do them, but we wanted to wait until one. We did studio shots. We knew we wanted to do black and white maternity shoot, which I loved how they came out. Mm-hmm. But I feel like I popped, like, later. So we waited until after we went on a baby moon in the beginning of April, and then we scheduled our maternity shoot with my cousin, who's a photographer, so it made it a little more convenient. But yeah. We did maternity photos at the end of the month and kept them pretty simple. Like I said, black and white. And he was definitely on board. He knew that he wanted to have him. Now, I do regret not kind of taking photos with her as a newborn.
Yeah.
Reckon we weren't expecting all the chaos that happened, but I wish I would have at least had somebody like come to the house and kind of done like a little bit of a photo shoot.
Yeah.
We have tons of photos, obviously, from friends and family, but we don't have, like...
An official... Edited, yes. So I don't look like... Yeah. Splotchy and...
But he was definitely on board with the maternity shoot, so...
Yeah, that surprises me.
Yeah, your brother pretty... I mean, I think he likes the idea that we can go back and look at and him. Show her.
Yeah.
And because he does it, because he knows I want to do it, and I don't ask a lot of him, so yes.
How was Scott during kind of your whole pregnancy? Was he attentive? Was he disassociative? Was he just...
I mean, he was always supportive, but I think sometimes it scared him. I think, unfortunately, Scott goes from, like, 0 to 60 in the, like, the worst way of thinking sometimes. So, like, if I was like, oh, there's a cramp, he's like, you need to go to the doctor. Mm. Do we need to go to the emergency room?
Well,
like,
and with the miscarriage, I can see him being a little bit more...
He was attentive. I love him. He is very sweet and very, like, caring. But I think sometimes he's like, oh, you're complaining. No, you can't do that. You got to do that. And so I think it's like it comes out in a different way.
Yeah.
But he was supportive. He, I think, worried a little bit too much. Like, I think his caring kind of came out in, like, you should just stay home or you should just stay off your feet instead of being like, you want to sit back and, like, I'll make dinner or something like that. But... very caring in his own way, if you know my husband. But not like the, like, oh, you just sit back, my prince, you know, like
how you weren't a princess.
How some husbands are. He knows I'm kind of independent and can be a little stubborn, so a little hard-headed,
as can he.
Yes.
Okay, so what were your top 5 products, maybe not 5, maybe 3 products you liked during pregnancy?
I mean, I liked the pregnancy pillow. I had a really hard time and I don't know up. I think it was just like a general Amazon, but I had a really hard time laying on my side, which is funny because I lay on my side now. I was a big back sleeper.
Oh.
And so it really, I would end up on my back and Scott would like prod me in the shoulder and be like, you need to turn over. But that was definitely made it more comfortable for sure. I don't know that I really had like product. I mean, maternity clothes were a plus, wherever you got those.
Amazon or Target?
Yeah, I think Target. And then I think my aunt actually got me some stuff from Kohl's, but leggings, shorts, t-shirts, like super comfy and just like totally necessary.
Yeah.
I mean, kudos to moms that don't, but like there was no squeezing into any of my clothes.
At some point, it's just like, there's nothing else to wear.
Yeah. I will say Scott got me like Burt's Bees leg cream and stuff that I would like. And I never got like stretch marks on my belly except for like that center one, obviously, that most women get regardless. But the cream was like really soothing and like
helped.
Just, yeah, helped with like dryness and stuff like that. And then I'm trying to think of what else. I mean, he got me a Yeti, which I wasn't super, or not a Yeti, a Stanley. I'm sorry. I was already a good water drinker, but I will say that is helps. Just, I like it. I was like, I'm not going to be one of those people that gets a Stanley. And then I got one and I was like, oh, I kind of love this thing.
There's a reason people love it.
Yeah. So I don't know. They weren't like really pregnancy. I wasn't like as much of a product.
Was there anything you really disliked?
I don't know.
I hated my prenatals.
I
just hate having to birth control. I mean, I don't like to take things at the same time every day.
I will say I was really good about taking my prenatal. I think that was also because I was older and I really wanted to make sure that, you know, and I tried everything. To like eat really well. I ate pretty well before then other than my cravings, but I really tried to like get all the, you know, sources of vitamins super and meats foods. And stuff like that. But yeah, no. And we did like our protein smoothies, but I've never had a problem like taking vitamins. And I will say the ones I got from Sprouts were like easily digestible on an empty stomach. So I think that helped because I could just wake up and like take it and never had to like eat food or anything.
Yeah, so it didn't upset your tummy.
Yeah. But no, I didn't. I didn't think about that. Because I'm like, I take a postnatal too, and I guess I'm just like, it's just part of the routine.
You still take a postnatal?
Yeah.
Good for you.
Only because I was like, my hair started falling out.
Oh, and really?
And I think my hair, like, in the seasons. So, guys, my hair, like, grew, like, 3 inches right after
it's
I had this
so
baby.
So long.
But I think that was also partially all the extra stuff in the hospital. But then I recently, and I mean, I know people lose hair. One, your hormones are changing again. But two, in the spring, I tend to lose more hair. But it started, like, really, like, every time I took a shower, there was, like, I don't think I'm going to, like, go bald, but, like, there was, like, clumps. And I do
more
wear my hair up, so
yeah.
I'm, like, that can loosen it up. But I was, like, okay, this is the first time my hair's looked this good in years. I'm not losing
it. Don't lose it.
I'm not going bald. So, yeah, I started taking a prenatal, like, a couple months ago. And I don't know that I noticed like a huge difference, because I do like a protein smoothie with a bunch of like, it's kind of like a multivitamin. So yeah. I don't know that I, but I guess I just was reading more about like your hormones and stuff. And I've never had any significant swings with my hormones, pregnancy or post-pregnancy, but just figured it can't hurt anything. So
I don't think so.
I don't know. Anyway. Yeah. So I've been taking one for a while. I'll, the jury will be out on to see if when I stop, if anything changes.
Yeah. I mean, they told me you're supposed to like take your prenatal like 3 months after the baby.
And I did do that.
I did not do that with Rocky. No. So I did it with Sunny, thinking it would help kind of with some of the issues we had with Rocky. And on that like 3 month, end of the 3 month mark, I was like, I'm not taking this.
I don't blame you. I do not blame you.
Well, I'll kind of go into my story. Yeah. It's not quite as thrilling as yours.
No, I wouldn't say it was thrilling, but yes.
I think I had the perception that getting pregnant was going to be easy, because all through high school, when you start talking about boys, everybody's like, you're going to get pregnant if you have sex. Like,
I think the younger you are, you can get pregnant much easier than when you're older.
Yes, I agree. But you just think your whole life, you're like, if you're I'm going to end up pregnant. And then it's like, I want to get pregnant. It's going to happen tomorrow. It's going to be great. I'm not going to be sad. But Garrett and I tried for about 5 months with no luck. And the devastation of taking a pregnancy test every month is more than you think it is. Especially when there's not a history. Like, I don't have, never had a miscarriage.
Yeah.
Like, my mom didn't have problems getting pregnant. So I just, there was something wrong with me. And that is the mentality I had. So every time it was like more, it's like, what am I doing wrong? What am I doing wrong?
Yeah.
And I was talking to a friend at work, and she suggested to fib at my next OBGYN appointment, because a lot of OBGYNs won't send you to a fertility specialist until you've been trying for a year, because that is what they say. It can take like a year to get pregnant.
Sure. And unless you're old. Like, I feel like at 40, they'll send you like right away.
Yes. And I did not want to wait a year. I did not want to go through another 7 months of taking pregnancy tests. That's not what I wanted to do. So I fibbed a little and told them that I had been trying for a year when I hadn't been. But she did send me to a specialist, and we had blood work done. Like, Garrett got tested, and we had to go through the whole kit and caboodle. I had to take I tried taking some hormone replacement, which was supposed to help, because I did ovulate. I took the ovulation test, and I was very regular. My periods were very regular. So about 4 or 5 months in, when they were like, everything's fine with you and everything's fine with Garrett, they gave me a shot in my butt to spike whatever hormones are supposed to, your HCG and all that stuff. And then it worked.
Yeah.
And that was that, that positive pregnancy test. You don't think it's going to be a big deal, but when it shows up positive, I start crying. I was like in awe, and I put it on a little piece of paper, and I wrote Garrett this note. I still actually have it. And when he got home, I left it on the counter, and I went downstairs, and he came down, and he was like, are you serious? Is this real? So it was very exciting. Yeah. But it definitely took way longer than I ever expected. So when my friends started talking about getting pregnant, I was like, it takes forever.
Well, and for some people, it doesn't. And then you don't want to, like, hate on them. But yeah. You're just like, what did you do differently? Like, you suck.
And worrying about it, I swear, is the number one thing that makes it last longer.
I know it's easier said than done, but it really does. As soon as you start thinking about it, it's like, boom.
Your body knows what to do. And if you're stressed about it, it's protecting itself, I feel. But yeah. I will say that I was very scared to go through that with Sunny. I did not want to have to, you know, do the whole kit and caboodle again. So with Sunny, it took about 4 months. And we wanted them to be like 2 and 3 months apart, and 4 months apart. So I was like, if this is going to take as long as it did with Rocky, we need to start earlier rather than later.
Yeah.
And then it happened sooner than I thought it was. So they're less than two. They're just under 3 weeks of 2 years apart. But that pregnancy test, Garrett and I were on our 5-year wedding anniversary, and I was supposed to get my period when we got up there, and I didn't get it the first night, So the second day when I didn't get it, I was like, I think we need to go to Walgreens.
That's kind of fun, though, just the two of you.
Yeah.
We had our nephew. We shared it with Nana.
Yes. But it was like walking to Walgreens. It was like, this can't be. Like, I felt kind of like I was manifesting period cramps and like. But when we got back to the hotel, I took it, and it was like, this is positive. But then we went to the amusement park in Glenwood Springs, and you're not supposed to ride roller coasters when you're pregnant. So I didn't, because I was like,
oh. Well, you were so early, but yeah, I get
other
it.
One.
I get it.
But I had, like, been drinking the whole night before, and it...
I drank at our friend's Thanksgiving, actually, prior to us finding out, and I had gotten, like, canker sores, but, like, was, like, never really drinking. We, like, turned up, and then I was like, oh, a week later, we found out we were pregnant. I was like, I hope I didn't do anything.
Yes. That early, I don't think it was. But, like I said, I don't have any prior medical history. My mom never had miscarriages. Very fortunate on my mom's side of the family that, at least not that they share, that they kind of struggled.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think between the two because Sunny is so fresh, whereas Rocky is almost 3 years ago. I had very easy pregnancies, actually.
You were pretty sick with Sunny, though, I feel like. Sicker longer.
Yeah, and I think I was more sick because Rocky was in school. So we had COVID, we had norovirus. I mean, he was just bringing back germs from daycare. So I think I was just, like, not, like, pregnancy sick as much as I was, like, cold and flu sick, which really sucked. But I think I would have been that way no matter what because Rocky was, like, a little cesspool of germs.
Yes.
But Rocky's pregnancy was really easy. It's funny, my cousin is always like, you just made pregnancy look so easy.
You did.
I was like, well, it helps when you're not struggling with like other stuff. And I'm not a big complainer, so I probably am. Garrett would probably disagree with me, but I just feel like I was like, you're supposed to be uncomfortable, you're supposed to be in pain, kicks are gonna hurt.
I think the only thing that you ever complained about the most was heartburn.
Oh my god, she would
eat Tums like by the jar, and I was like, when I got pregnant and had like a little heartburn, I was like, oh, my doctor only said that you can take X amount. She's like, really? Because I be like crushing bottles of this stuff.
And then I asked my doctor, and she's like, it's fine. And I was like, well, I gotta do something else because the Tums aren't working no more.
I know. I remember with both babies, you really had...
And Sunny was way worse, and I don't know if it's because I was so much more active.
Sure.
Like, with
Rocky.
Because
you had a toddler at home, yeah.
Yeah, just being busy, but with Sunny, it was like, it just won't go away, so I had to ask her for a prescription Pepcid.
Because I was going to say, you said it got bad at night, too. You'd be, like, getting up in the middle of the night and, like...
Yeah, I'd be popping, like, 4 or 5 Tums throughout the night, and I was like, I need this... Can this please stop?
Heartburn is uncomfortable if you've been pregnant.
And I had never experienced it before. Yeah. So when I got it with Rocky, I'm like, what is this?
Oh, I guess speaking of, you just reminded me, restless legs. That was the thing that I had never experienced before with pregnancy. Yes. And then all of a sudden, I was like, Hannah, is this going to go away when I'm done being pregnant? Because I can't stand this. And it did. I mean, it was only for really a couple, like a month or so, but I was like, this is the most uncomfortable thing I've ever experienced in my life. And my heart goes out to people that deal with it on a regular basis because I don't know how you do it.
It's so bad. I didn't have any like big things trimester to trimester, I guess. It was just kind of, you get energy in the second, but when you have a toddler, that goes away.
Sure.
there were definitely days where I would just look at Garrett and I was like, you gotta take that one away. I can't do it today.
I need a nap.
Yeah. And being mostly pregnant in the winter, I think, definitely helps. Whereas my cousin Emmy was pregnant during the summer, and my heart goes out to her.
I couldn't have gone another month. I was technically due August 1st, and there was no way I was going to go through the month of July.
I really liked my pregnancy pillow with Rocky, but with Sunny, I just used a body pillow because I could not get comfortable.
Oh, okay.
Which was weird. Because I was like, that body pillow is going to be my best friend.
They really are.
And with Rocky, it was, but with Sunny, where he was laying and where he was positioned was just always just so uncomfortable because... I'm a back sleeper now, but I was always a side sleeper, and I just like, could not get comfortable. And so,
interesting. And Sunny's like the mellowest baby, but he was pretty rowdy, I feel like, in your womb. Didn't he kick a lot? Or am I thinking of
Sunny?
That's
Rocky. Rocky kicked a lot. I mean, Sunny moved a lot, sure, but like when I was pregnant with Rocky, we went and saw Top Gun in the movie theater, And in the last scene when it's like all rumbly, like he was like, and Kara was like touching me, and he was like, he is so excited. That was fun though. I can't think of any products that I hate prenatals, like I just said. And with Rocky, I took a prenatal that was like recommended by my doctor, and it tasted so bad.
Oh, yeah.
And
see, I think that doesn't help.
That didn't help. So no. With Rocky or with Sunny, I got ones just like from Target.
Sure.
That were way easier.
Yeah.
To stomach.
No, flavored stuff is gross.
And I have a sweet tooth, so like I didn't really have any salty cravings, but my sweet tooth just like went through the roof.
Yeah.
I was like, Garrett would go get me milkshakes like once a night.
So how did your glucose between the two boys go?
Failed with Rocky.
Okay.
So I had to go back for the 3-hour test with him because I did fail the first time. So I was much more cognizant with Sunny to try to watch what I was eating more.
Sure.
I think with Rocky, I was like, pardon my French, but fuck all the what everybody says. Healthy. I'm doing me and I'm doing it how I want to do it. Sure. So I ate whatever I wanted. I didn't listen to the turkey thing, like the lunch meat thing, the tuna thing. Like I was like, these are all wives' tales. And as we talk more about our kids, Rocky definitely had a very rough first year.
Yeah.
So with Sunny, I think I was like, I did that to him. So I didn't eat any turkey. I didn't eat any tuna. I drank a lot of water. I took my prenatal every day.
Yeah.
So I think that definitely helped with my glucose test with Sunny because I just did not want to take the I did not want to sit there for 4 hours again.
Yeah. No, it's brutal.
It's a long test. But I was definitely the nester.
Okay.
I like spot cleaned my house 3 times. I cleaned out the kitchen. Like with Sunny, I took everything out of all my cabinets and purged and reorganized.
That's smart.
I came up with the themes. Garrett was definitely the I instructed and he executed. I think he was more excited with Rocky just because it was like the first one. So he was a little bit more on board. So it took a lot longer to get Sunny's situation.
Well, and was he working the shift he was working? I guess he was, or was he still in the academy? Because I feel like he wasn't fully.
Yeah. So with Rocky during pregnancy, he was still in the academy. So he had Saturdays and Sundays off, which was like,
and was working days, right?
So in the academy, he was going during the day and then being off.
Because I feel like with Sunny, he was just like, it's just was hard, tired, like nights. And then on days off, it was like getting this baby's room together and
we were
with
never
a toddler.
With Sunny, we were never off on the same days.
That's
so
right. Okay.
It was like, Sunny was definitely a lot tougher. Where with Rocky, he didn't start working his night shift until after he was born.
Okay. That makes sense.
But with Sunny, he got a paternity leave, and with Rocky, he didn't. So
right.
Each one had their
I do remember that.
Pros and cons. But it was definitely harder to get him to finish Sunny's room.
Yeah.
But it's we didn't have to like buy any furniture. Or
right.
I mean, it was so kind of like a like feels like Sunny got the short end of the stick sometimes because like we moved all of Rocky's baby furniture into Sunny's room. But
you
then
never know.
But then we got Rocky a big boy bed. So instead of like being excited about doing this new nursery, it was like our toddler got a big boy bed.
Yeah.
And you know, like going into potty training, like Sunny is just always like, yeah, we already did that.
Oh. He'll be spoiled in his own ways and he'll get new stuff. But it is, I mean, you gotta save money. I don't care how much money you have, you
the
gotta
kid is
reuse
all
and like
reusable clothes.
We got him new clothes too, because we knew. But yes, it does, it's hard because you just don't wanna it's a lot of kid stuff is not cheap.
And we had a lot of it from Rocky because I was like with Rocky, it was like, we'll try this and we'll try that and we'll try this. So I have like every toy in the face of the earth. And Sunny is the complete opposite. He doesn't like almost anything that Rocky liked.
Yeah. Well, that's good. They're different. They're unique in their
own
way.
I think mostly he just likes to follow Rocky around. So if Rocky's not doing it, he doesn't want to do it. But,
So how did your deliveries go? What was different between the two?
So with Rocky, I had 2 natural births. So with Rocky, I was just kind of I waited to see if my water would break, but I started having contractions in like the middle of the night. And when you're a first time mom, timing contractions is so confusing.
Yeah, I'm sure.
I could not figure it out. So I thought they were intense and close together. So when I called the nurse, cause they're like, call, we'll talk about it. See if we want you to come in. And she was like, yep, it's time to come in. And I was, my OBGYN is about 45 minutes from us. So we drove to the doctor, and when I got there, she's like, you're like barely 1 centimeter dilated. Your contractions are so far apart and inconsistent. And I broke down in tears because she was like, you need to go home. And we live so far that I was like, it could progress fast. It could progress really slow. So I like broke down in tears, and they were like, well, she saw how upset I was, and she came back and she was like, well, why don't we just induce you? So you don't have to worry about all this.
And I think
this.
Garrett went back too and was like, I cannot, we cannot go back. Like, please don't send my crying wife back.
Yeah.
You went to Target, or didn't you guys go to Target?
They suggest, she was like, you don't have to go home, but why don't you like go walk around Target? And I was like, because once you're checked in, you're checked in.
Okay.
So then they would have had to, we had had to wait for discharge paperwork. Oh. And like, it was like this big deal. And I was like,
no.
No. And I thought the contractions were bad. They were not.
Yeah, no, I'm sure.
So then they put me on Pitocin, and then they broke my water, and then I felt what a real contraction was like. And I told Garrett, I was like, I'm going to try to do it. I'm going to try to. And the first, like, two real contractions I had, I was like, nope, nope, like, give me that
give
girl.
Me something, give me something.
And I cried. I told Garrett, I'm so sorry. And he was like, what are you apologizing for? Get the drugs.
Like, I don't want to see you in that pain either.
And I bless my day nurse that helped me get the epidural, because when you're having contractions and have to get an epidural, like, you can't relax. It's so painful.
Yeah.
And she was just a godsend. And she really helped me, like, through the contractions, and I was very fortunate that my epidural worked the first time they put it in. But I did have an experience where they did not clearly tell me how to use my epidural.
I remember this.
So I heard
Hannah
her
got
say
a little high.
I heard her say, every time it turns green, push the button. So I pushed the button all day long.
So, and Hannah was feeling good.
Yeah, and I could not feel my lower half at all. And my day nurse, I don't know if they were just so busy. Like, she would rotate me, but she would do it. Like, she would flip-flop me and all those types of things. So when my night nurse came, she was like, okay, you need to, like, roll over. And I was like, what do you mean roll over? I can't roll over. And she was like, what do you mean you can't roll over? And I was like, I can't feel my legs. And she was like, that's not good.
She's like, we need to get you off these drugs.
Yeah, she said, stop pushing the button. Don't push the button anymore. She's like, you should, like, be at a 3.
Oh.
And I was like, oh, no, I'm, like, at a negative 10.
Oh, no.
But so I pushed for 4 hours, and then...
With Rocky.
With Rocky, and he came into the world at 12:38 a.m. on July 16th. But when they tried to move me from the labor and delivery to the
recovery room,
I couldn't get into the wheelchair by myself because I couldn't stand because I couldn't feel my legs. And I almost passed out because I was like, so she had like smelling salts ready. Like it was a little traumatic. Aww. From like that point of view that
sure.
I was like, oh, so with Sunny, I scheduled my induction. I got the epidural right when we got there, and I didn't push the button once.
Oh, good
so,
for you.
It definitely kept me comfortable.
I never had a button. Is that only if you, like, have contractions? Because, like, I just got an epidural and
I assume
just,
yours
like,
was just, like, a drip or something.
I guess so, yeah. Because she was standing behind me the whole time during surgery, like, giving, like, asking me how I was doing and,
that's
like, giving me issue more stuff. And, like, when I went into surgery, they had to, like, because she was like, this is going to wear off. And I was like, please don't let it wear off while I'm cut open and they're going to take out my uterus. Like, and then she had to give me, like, different anesthesia
Stesia
to go, like, go under. But, yeah. Anyway, so. Sorry. I was like, where was my button? Why
yeah.
did I get a button?
Oh, no. And so he was like, he said the same thing, but I heard it differently this time. So I only pressed it if I really felt like I needed to, which
sure.
was like right before I started pushing. And when I pushed it, it didn't help. I told the nurse, I said, it's time.
Yeah.
It's
well,
time.
Sunny came a lot quicker, right? Because you were like ready.
Yeah. So I got induced at 8:30 and I had him at 6 p.m.?
Oh, I guess,
maybe
okay, for some reason I kept thinking it was sooner than
same
that.
Same day, but it was much shorter.
You just knew what to expect, probably,
yeah.
too.
And it was one of those things that you always hear, like, mom say, like, I knew I was ready to push, and I had to tell the nurse to come look at me, where I looked at the nurse, and I said, it's time, I'm ready to push, and she looked, and she's like, yep, it's time. And my doctor was actually pregnant, and she was, like, going to run some, like, errands, get some lunch, and she barely made it back in time.
Oh,
and
no.
I was like, thank God she made it back in time. But yes, much smoother.
Okay.
Three pushes and he was out. So
I remember you saying that went like, yeah, it was like push, push. Boom, yeah. Baby.
Yes. And for all the expecting moms out there, my mom told me the easiest way to get through pushing is to imagine you're pooping out a watermelon. And I will tell you, all my nurses said I pushed really well because that's all I could imagine. So if you need a tip or trick, that is one that helped me for sure.
Yes.
Yeah.
I part of me was like really bummed out when I found out I was getting a C-section, just because I was like, oh, it's been like a couple years since my surgery. Can I, like, I'm sure the wound is healed.
Yeah.
They were like, you're crazy. But then I was like thinking, because I wanted it to be like a surprise. I wanted to, like, you know, not know.
Kind of go through that.
Because I thought, like, picking her birthday and, like, a time was just weird. It was like, this is, like, too, like, in
plans.
Yeah, plan. But then I will say, after hearing stories, I was actually really grateful. And when we picked her birthday, we were, like, looking up, like, historical events. So it was kind of like, and I forget what happened, but something happened with a president or something cool, because my husband's super into history, on the 9th. So that was part of the reason that we, like, picked the 9th. And my husband, if you know him, loves 4th of July.
Yes.
He wanted a 4th of July baby. I did not want her to be born on a holiday, just because I feel like that's hard when you're sharing.
Yeah.
But she's close enough to the holiday that she can still enjoy fireworks. And
yeah.
I said, well, honey, she might not even be into that. But he's like, yes, she will.
if it's his daughter,
yes,
she will be.
But
yeah.
Anyway, okay.
Well,
what else you got?
I got some wrap-up questions.
Okay.
What do the tabs on the diaper mean?
Oh, God. I don't know. It's just
learned this.
You told me this, too. I'm like, I mean, so when they're, if they don't line up, it means they're too small,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, so the tabs of the diaper should always overlap. They should be touching. That's how you know it fits. The further apart they get from each other, and once
Wait,
they're at the
real?
Edges, you're supposed to size up.
Because I'm like on the Kirkland diapers, like Costco diaper mom here.
Yeah,
she just,
me too.
She doesn't, we start, you know, just works. That purple ring, I just thought that's where we put them.
No, so the first set of rings is like, okay.
There's not another set of rings.
There's two.
Oh, lordy.
But that means size up. I was like,
I just bought a new box of threes. I can't put her in fours yet. My daughter got pretty chunky, which I love. But she's got
the cutest
mega
rolls.
Rolls on her legs. Okay, well, good to know. Nope, definitely didn't know that. We've been probably squeezing her into diapers that are too small.
So I had leftover twos because it's time for Sunny to size up. But I was like, I'm not wasting these. So he's going to have to squeeze into these suckers until they're gone. All right. How does baby clothes sizing work? What does it mean when it says 3 months?
Okay, 0 to 3 months. That's anywhere from 0 to 3
yes,
months.
Yes, which I did not know with Rocky, and that was very confusing.
Yeah, I will say, Ev, because she was a late-term preemie and came out super small, like you could football hold her. She was so small. She fit in our forearm when we look back at like photos. We're just like, she was so little. We actually... Fun fact, I was devastated because our daughter didn't even fit in her newborn clothes and she lived in blankets for like the first 4 days. And then my sweet sister-in-law and mother-in-law brought over preemie clothes. And I walked downstairs after being home from the hospital and she was in an outfit and I almost cried because I was like, oh my gosh, she's got clothes on. It was interesting because, yeah, so she wasn't, like I said, she wasn't considered a preemie baby, but she still swam in newborn clothes.
Yeah.
So really for a long time, up until about 6 months, she fit into her clothes a lot longer.
Yeah.
Than like, she was still in like 3 month clothes at 6 months. And then somewhere around there,
she
plumped up. And, now it's funny because she's about to be 8 months and she pretty much no more 6 month clothes because her toes, I mean, I feel bad. We like really got a stretcher
out, yeah.
And her toes like been, so it's either 6 to 9 months or 9 months. And the 9 months are only like a couple inches past her feet. So we've just kind of been like letting them hang a little bit because I'm like, she's so, her legs are, your mom actually just got us some new clothes and they are so cute, but they, I'm like, Nana, we need to get not slim fit because my daughter is not. I don't mean that in a bad way. I love her little chunky legs, but her chunky legs like stretch them in a way where you can't get the zipper up where the zipper lies. It's like, hold it together. And then I feel like I squeeze her in there and then she's like, So anyway, but yeah, so up until recently, I said, I initially was like, we need to make a preemie line, because she was like skipping. She wasn't like quite ready to go into the next size for her size. But then it's like she caught up, and now she's like beyond that.
Well, Rocky's always been like been able to stay in the smaller sizes.
He was always a little.
He's always been pretty skinny. And even now, he's like growing taller, but not wider. Mm-hmm. So he's like in 3T length, but two really like 24 month waist.
Yeah.
So I really have to cinch him on there.
In all fairness, her husband is very tall and slender. Yeah. So like he definitely takes after his dad that way, I feel like.
Yeah. And he's just getting taller and taller, which is making Garrett very happy. And Sunny is long. So he like, he's definitely in the 6 to 9 month clothes, but sometimes the 9 months are a little too long, and it really depends on brands.
Yes, brands is very, it is true.
I have this one onesie that's 9 months that is looks like a 12-month length, and I'm like, what the heck?
The 12-month ones that we just got, I was like, dude, this looks like she'll be 2 years old, but then I guess you put them on, and with her chunky little legs, I'm like, oh, this kind of evens itself out, I guess.
I think that's what it is you forget that they go wide, mm-hmm. too, where, because Sunny has thick thighs, but his upper half is pretty small. Like, yeah. He's pretty skinny, but his thighs, I'm the same way. I'm like, just get the zipper over his thigh.
I feel bad. I'm like, one of these days I'm going to zip her skin up and I'm going to just die. I really try. My husband and I, like, you know, it's like a tag team effort. Because, like, I'm like, just, I don't want to get your little rolls in there. But they are cute. I'll take the rolls over clothes that fit any day.
Any day. Are babies born with kneecaps?
No.
Or not, which is really weird.
I know, it is weird, and they don't get them until like 3 or 4, right?
Yeah,
because I'm like, Rocky, he came over one time and he was going, and I was like, ow, you're making my own knees hurt. But then I knew that from, like, I think babysitting or something, but I was like, I didn't realize how late it took them to get them,
forever,
to be honest. But babies are pretty much jello.
They are.
I mean, they're still really fragile, but they're jello.
Because I remember when Rocky was born, Garrett was always will tell me, he's like, I was so nervous to hold Rocky until he saw the nurse just like fling him around, and then he was like, psh, I got this. Like,
yeah,
they're fragile in certain areas, but other than that, they're pretty nimble,
like neck and head. But yeah. I will say, Ev lately, she used to like projectile. She's not really a pacifier baby. Like, she really only needs it to go to sleep, and it only stays in her mouth for X amount of time, and then she used to like projectile fly it out. Now it's just like she lets go of it, and a couple times we've been like, where's your pacifier? Where's your pacifier? And it is like literally wedged in the back of her neck, and I'm like, how did you sleep like that all night? But I'm like, they might, you know, they've got, it's like she's got so much fat and extra skin.
Can't even tell.
I know, but I'm just like, geez, girl, like, that's, it was like lodged in there. Like, how did you sleep like that for 8 hours?
All right, last question.
Okay.
What's the first organ to grow?
Their heart, right?
That is correct.
I was like, that's only because I was like, it shows up on the 12th week. It's got to be the heart.
And as soon as you can hear it is 6 weeks.
Oh, okay. I did not know that.
Just learned.
Did not know that. Well, if there's anything we missed or if you have any other questions, please reach out to us. But if you have a pregnancy journey you would like to share, even if it's normal, bizarre, has whatever, we'd love to hear from you. But that's kind of our pregnancy journeys. So thank you so much for listening, and tune in next episode.
Thanks, guys.
Mom Vibes Only is hosted by Hannah Bain and Marky Martin. It is written by Hannah, and it is produced by Marky. Music is written, performed, and produced by Mike Martin. You can find us on Spotify, iHeartRadio, and Apple Podcasts. And if you're enjoying Mom Vibes Only, please hit that follow button and rate and review us. If you have a story you would like to share or tips and feedback, please email us at momvibesonlypodcast@gmail.com. And a big thank you to our husbands and family who watch our kids so that we can bring this podcast to moms like you.